how yesterday was the 250th birthday of this country. Guess what we're going to be talking about? We're going to be talking about Independence Day and freedom. I love when we were singing this song. It says, you know, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Well, here we are, folks. So before we get started, Father, we thank you for the freedom that we have in this country. We thank you for the freedom that we have in and through you, Lord. Yeah. So, Lord, I just ask that you would be with us this morning as we speak the word. Father, speak the truth and speak wholeness and wellness into everybody, Lord. And realize what we have in you, Lord. The freedoms that we have in this country is only because of you. And so, Father, we thank you and we just bless you. Pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'm going to be referencing my handy-dandy little Declaration of Independence and the Constitution little booklet. If you've never read through that, I'd highly suggest it. It's just, I find it incredible that 250 years ago, a group of men gathered together and wrote a document that stood the test of time. How smart were they? How much foresight did they have when they created this for a country that was brand new? I'm just blown away. Even to this day, you know, people say, well, it's got to be a living document. I say this thing covers it. And with God, everything's covered then, right? So I want to ask, when you think about Independence Day, what comes to mind? You know, freedom,
sacrifice.
You know, got fireworks. It was crazy fireworks last night. Parades, cookouts, friends, and a flag. So if you got that picture, you can't have too many flags on a motorcycle. You know, although this isn't my bike, I only have one flag on mine. But we saw this at the one of the Harley anniversaries up in Milwaukee. And I just had to have that picture. And I said, man, number one, I don't know how the guy got in there and sat down. And I would have loved to have seen him riding down the road with that thing. But that's patriotic. I mean, I don't know about everyone here, but when I look at the flag and what it represents, man, the patriotism within me just rises up. This is a great country. You know, we have our flaws, absolutely. Show me a country that doesn't. But by and large, this is the absolute best country in the world. And we have got some great people in it. You know, we need to thank God for the freedoms that we enjoy as a nation. That's pointed out in this document. You know, we're grateful to folks that sacrificed for us to have what we have today. There's we can go through all the different wars that this country has been through, starting with the Revolutionary War, which started this country off, up until, you know, most recent wars. A lot of folks have given their life so that we can have and enjoy the freedoms that this country has bestowed upon us. And I don't want to ever take that for granted. You know, it's such a precious gift that we have. But, you know, as much as the freedom that we have given this document, there's a much greater freedom that we have. As I said, we were singing this morning, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. You know, a nation can be free, but then the people can still be bound with sin, depression, depression, anxiety, just all sorts of things that could bring them down that they aren't free from. I'm going to read out of Galatians 5:1. Paul tells us, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery." Stand firm and don't pick up that garbage again. You've given your life to the Lord, it's taken care of. You're free from all the stuff that you've had. Today, we're going to look at three truths. Number one, God values freedom. Number two, Christ provides true freedom. And number three, Christians are called to use freedom wisely. So the founding fathers understood this so much that they indirectly referenced him in our Declaration of Independence four times. Talks about nature's God. It says, in the opening sentence, citing the laws of nature and of nature's God. Number two, it talks about the Creator in the statement that men are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. It's not man or government. It's by the Creator. Supreme Judge. Appealing to the Supreme Judge of the world for the rectitude of our intentions. Now, I didn't know what rectitude meant, so I had to look that up. And it says that's the moral uprightness, righteousness, the quality or condition of being correct in judgment. God is always right. Always. Always. And he's not looking for our opinion on that kind of stuff. Well, but God, what about? No. I had the wonderful discussion with my sister years ago. Well, I don't think that's right. And I said, I don't think you've got an opinion on this. The word says this, and it doesn't matter what you feel, what you think. God's word says this, and that's all that counts. And then finally, in the last sentence of the Declaration of Independence, it talks about, and for the support of this declaration, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence. You know, divine providence, that says that God's sovereignty governs all things, guiding the universe, nations, nature, and human lives according to his loving will. So, with the Declaration of Independence, they spoke very strongly about God being integral to the founding of this country. People may say a lot of crazy things about, well, this isn't a Christian nation. Well, it was founded on Christian values. I don't care what they say. The truth is different. You know, the scripture is saying that God is the deliverer. When people of Israel cried out, what happened? He heard them. He raised up Moses, and then he delivered his people. In Exodus 3:7-8, said, the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and have given heed to their cry because of their taskmasters, for I am aware of their sufferings. So I have come down to deliver them from the power of the Egyptians and to bring them up from that land to a good and spacious land, to a land flowing with milk and honey. You know, God's always been concerned about the people living in bondage. You know, in the beginning for this country, we were under the control of the King of Great Britain. And that's what caused the whole Revolutionary War. We didn't want that. We wanted a whole different set of rules here. Slavery, you know, Exodus reminds us that God delights in bringing people from slavery to freedom and despair to hope. And on the July 4th, America celebrated our freedom from political oppression from the King of Great Britain. The Bible celebrates freedom from spiritual oppression. And political freedom is important, but can be taken away. If it can be given by politicians, it certainly can be taken away by the next politicians. Spiritual freedom is forever. It's eternal. It's given from God. He's not an Indian giver. He gives and gives and gives, and he doesn't take it away. Many people here in this country are free to vote. They think of all the freedoms that they do have, you know, but they are imprisoned by a lot of things in their life, by guilt, anxiety, depression, anger, addiction, unforgiveness. It says only Jesus can break those chains that give life-changing freedom. It's like if, you know, you go to a prison and you open up the prison door and the prisoners just sit there and they kind of scratch their head. They're looking around and they don't understand. The door's open, but I'm still in prison here. I'm not supposed to be out and free, right? Many Christians live exactly like that. They've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, the freedom that comes with it, and yet they don't live life being what God has purposed for them. They need to step out of that cell, and they need to step into what he has provided each and every one of us who believe. John 8:36 says, "So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." God or Jesus didn't just say free. He said free indeed. Indeed means without question, undeniable, you are free. You have to understand that freedom isn't just doing whatever we want to do. Freedom is becoming who God created us to be, right? Even sin promises freedom in the world, but it produces slavery. Jesus promises surrender, which produces freedom, true freedom. Now, a lot of people think that the Christian life is very restrictive. And I used to be one of them before I gave my life to the Lord. I used to think, you know, Marla worked on me for years, 11 years, a long time. Yeah. Thank goodness for a faithful woman. Anyway, she worked on me for a long, long, long time. And I used to tick off all the things. Well, if I become a Christian, I can't do X, Y, Z, blah, blah, blah. I just focused on all the things that, as a Christian, you can't do anymore. I mean, because I wasn't a real good guy back then. I did a lot of stupid things, but I just, in my mind, I think, oh, I got to give up this. I got to give up that. I got to give up all these things. Just wondering about all the things I couldn't do any longer. But the thing is that Jesus removed the desire to do those things. It's so incredible. You know, you're all that garbage is lifted. And instead of thinking about all those things I can't do anymore, I was replaced by all the things that I've gained, all the things that I can do now that I couldn't do before, all the promises that God gives us, all the things that Jesus promises us, those are now mine. I can do those things. I don't want to do those things. That's freedom. It's not without boundaries, though. Freedom is living within God's design. When Christ saves us, he frees us from condemnation, from sin's control, from fear of death, and he frees us to live with purpose. No government can provide that. No law can produce that. Only Jesus can provide true freedom. Now, with freedom, it's not, you know, okay, I can do whatever, whenever, however. It comes with responsibility. The last sentence in the Declaration of Independence says it this way. It says, and for the support of this declaration with a firm reliance on protection of divine providence, we, the signers of this document, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. That's responsibility. When you pledge that to another person or group of people, you're taking a stand. Nothing is going to make you waver from that. You're responsible for all these other things. That, you know, the more you read this document, it just blows me away. I say that is responsibility. Galatians 5:13 says it this way, for you are called to freedom, brethren, only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. And what did they say? We pledged to one another our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. Paul teaches that freedom should lead to service. You know, when this country is formed, you know, I hate to get too political. When this country was formed, the Congress was not set up to be a permanent position. Gentlemen, you know, would come in, serve their country for a short period, and then return to their life out on the farms or whatever they were doing previously. I don't believe for a moment that they thought that this should be a full-time position until you're too old to walk and function. boy. I won't go any further than that. Paul teaches that freedom should lead to service. In America, people often emphasize their rights. What does the kingdom of God emphasize? Responsibility. You can be as free as you're going to be responsible for. What does Christian freedom mean? What do you think Christian freedom is? You're free to forgive, free to love, free to serve, free to worship. That's guaranteed. You know, you go to some countries and you cannot do that at all. We're free to give, free to encourage, free to share the gospel. Again, I know Peter and Esther go to countries where that is not what's available to them. They have to do things clandestinely. And you listen to some of the stories that they share, is just, my heart just breaks because they have to do that, number one, and number two, it rejoices because they are doing that. And you know, they run the risk of suffering persecution. But thank God that there's people like that that are willing to go and do those kinds of things in countries that don't have the freedom that we have here in this country. Freedom without responsibility becomes selfishness. Freedom with love becomes ministry. One of the greatest ways that we honor those who sacrifice our nation is by becoming citizens who display integrity, compassion, and humility. And our lives should always point to Christ as the ultimate freedom. You know, we just celebrated Independence Day. You know, we need to ask ourselves, am I truly free? Is there something controlling my life besides Christ? Am I using my freedom to glorify God? How can I serve others instead of serving myself? Scripture tells us in 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 2, to pray for those in authority so that they may live peacefully and godly lives. Sometimes it's hard to pray for people that you don't agree with. People that are in authority over you. The Bible tells us to pray for them. Second Chronicles 7:14, I don't have a slide for this, but it says, my people who are called by my name, they humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and will heal their land. Amen. We've got a lot of stuff going on in our country. And that those are the times when it's difficult to think about, I'm going to lift up my president. I'm going to lift up, you know, this congressman, this senator, this mayor, this whatever the case may be. In our way of thinking, you say, well, they don't deserve that. That's not God's thinking. God's thinking is, pray for your leaders. Pray for your leaders. Pray for our military. Pray for our first responders. Pray for churches. Pray for families. Pray for revival in the land. We humble ourselves. Seek his face. He's going to hear us. And he will heal our land. As believers, we can love our country while remembering that our highest allegiance belongs to God's kingdom. That's why we said the Pledge of Allegiance to both the United States flag and the Christian flag. Our allegiance is to him first and then our country. I want to close with, I want to share a few comparisons. So Independence Day reminds us of a nation's freedom from the King of Great Britain. The Bible reminds us of freedom we receive through our Savior. The Declaration of Independence changed history. The cross changed eternity. The American flag reminds us of sacrifices made by man. The cross reminds us of the greatest sacrifice ever made. Yesterday, we celebrated our country with gratitude, but we need to celebrate our Savior, not just on one day, but always, in all ways. The greatest freedom isn't found in a document written by our founding fathers. It's found in Christ. We need to stand firm in that freedom. Thank God that we have a country that allows us that freedom and not be because of it. But let's not take that for granted. We need to exercise that right. We need to live it. We need to share it. And thank God for that freedom that we have every day. So if you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, today you can be a day of true freedom. Whether you have sins, fear, guilt, hopelessness, Christ offers you freedom from that. Stand with me if you would, please. Yeah, Father, thank you for the freedoms we enjoy in this country and for those who sacrificed to preserve them. Above all, thank you for the freedom purchased through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Help us to live as people who are truly free, free from sin, free to love, free to serve. Bless our nation, Father. Bless our leaders, Father, with wisdom, with justice, and peace. Strengthen our leaders, protect those who serve, Bring spiritual renewal through our land, Father, that may our lives always reflect the freedom found in Christ. In Jesus' name, we pray all these things. Amen.